The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on Youth Voice Amplified are those of the host and the guests and do not necessarily represent the official policy or position of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools office. Any content provided by our guests are of their opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, school, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Youth Voice Amplified covers a wide range of topics that could be upsetting to some listeners. Content warning for each episode and links to resources can be found in this episode's show notes. For the purposes of maintaining confidentiality, names and some identifiable characteristics of our storytellers have been changed, but their voices and their stories are real.
When young people share their stories, they can change the world. But some youth voices still go unheard. Join me, Janessa Fisher.
And me, Brian Johnson, for this youth-led monthly interview series as young people tell their untold stories of experiences with homelessness, foster care, disabilities, teen parenting, and more.
Each conversation will uncover stories of hope, strength from our youth storytellers who want to share the best ways that we can all support youth in similar situations as theirs. If you want to know how to do better for youth or simply just be inspired, this is your show. Every youth has a story to tell.
Are you ready to listen?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Youth Voice Amplified, the podcast where every youth is heard and every voice matters. I'm your host, Janessa. May is National Foster Care Month, a time to raise awareness about the experiences of children and youth in foster care, and to recognize the educators, caregivers, mentors, and community members who support us along the way. To honor this important month, we are doing something special. In this episode, you'll hear a live recording of a powerful panel discussion, Lessons Learned from Our Foster Youth Alumni. This was recorded at the 10th Annual Youth Empowering Success Conference, also known as YES. YES is a school-based program that supports foster youth in middle and high schools all across Kern County. The conference was held at Bakersfield College, and it brought together students in foster care, educators, caregivers, advocates for a day of inspiration, goal setting, and connection. This panel was one of the highlights of the day. I had the honor of sitting on the panel alongside two incredible fellow foster youth alumni, Cynthia and Ruby. We shared personal stories and talked about the hardest lessons we've learned and offered advice to students who may be walking the same path we once did. The panel was moderated by the amazing Kevon Lee, a nationally recognized motivational speaker, author, and former foster youth himself. Kevon brought so much energy and heart to the conversation with his own background growing up in and out of foster care, living in motels, and even in his grandmother's car. Kevon knows firsthand what our students are facing, and he uses his story to strengthen and empower others, to rise above their circumstance and believe in their own strength. Whether you're a student in foster care, a social worker, an educator, or a caregiver, or just someone who wants to know how to do better and understand and support foster youth, this episode is for you. You'll hear stories of resilience, moments of truth, and advice straight from those who lived it. We hope it encourages you and reminds you of the power of youth voice and shows you that no matter where you come from, your story matters. Now let's head to Bakersfield College for the panel. Lessons learned from our foster youth alumni.
Hey, my name is Kevon Lee. I'm going to be the host for the panel, but I'm going to let them introduce themselves and what they do now.
My name is Cynthia, and I'm a foster youth specialist with the Kern County Network for Children Dream Center.
Hello, I am Ruby, and I am a student teacher and becoming a teacher next year.
Yay! My name is Janessa, and I am a peer support specialist at the Dream Center also.
Okay, so listen, so the questions that I'm going to ask them, their answers are going to be very vulnerable, so I want everybody to pay attention. Please give your respect to them. If you have phones, please put your phones away, and definitely minimize the talking to zero, because we want to hear their answers and their expertise. Y'all ready for these questions? All right, so we're going to start here with Cynthia first. What were some of the biggest challenges you faced during your time in the system, and what motivated you to keep going despite these challenges?
I was a teen parent, so growing up in the foster care system, being a teen parent, there was never a group home or a foster home that wanted to take a teenage girl and a newborn baby at the same time. So that constantly led me to running away, so I was AWOL most of my teenage years. So doing that and trying to navigate still going to school while being homeless and being a minor was super hard. And not feeling like anybody really cared. So whenever people did try and they try to show up for me and they try to be there for me, I would push them away because I didn't know who was actually doing it for like the right reasons and who was just doing it to be seen as the person that was helping the kid that was struggling.
Woo! So, and I don't know if you answered this, but what motivated you to keep going?
My daughter. I had a baby at a very young age, and she changed my life. I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for my daughter.
I love it. I love it. All right, Ruby, same question to you.
I think the biggest challenge was uncertainty. Like, would I go back to my biological parents? Is my life going to go back to normal? Sorry. On top of that, I had to face the trauma of the aftershock of going into the system. Of being separated of all the things that I knew. And I didn't know where I was going. I don't know where my sisters were going to go. So it was very uncertain, very long. Can you see what I wrote? But I think what really helped me, motivated me, was my sister. She was very strong, unlike me. I was very emotional, as you can see. Be strong like her, because she was that cat. Like, she was my pillar. And even at such a young age, she was only like 2 years older than me. And ultimately God, because God always gives us these opportunities to grow and to be challenged, even as a young child myself. And just to remain in that, in him, because I know he has everything under control, and I can be at peace with that, no matter where I might find myself in.
Woo! And Miss Ruby, is the sister you talk about, is she here right now?
Yes.
Where's she at?
Where?
Where's she at? I know, I seen her earlier. Where's she at?
Oh.
Okay, we was going to give her a shout out. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Janessa, what about you? Do you want me to read it again?
No, I got it.
Okay.
For me, so first and foremost, I am the fourth oldest of 12 siblings. So 6 girls, 6 boys. So obviously keeping us together was not an option. And that's what was my hard part, was like we were always separated and nobody could ever take us. Family really just wasn't an option. So moving to houses and not knowing who you're living with, just kind of being put in somewhere, and it's like, okay, well, this is where you're going to stay. It's like, I don't know anybody here. Like, I don't know anything about these people. They don't know me. It's uncomfortable. So a lot of it was the uncomfortability. And so that uncomfortability of like not knowing who I was living with and just having to be there. And what motivated me was my siblings. So my sister is my best friend, my older sister. And they really reminded me that like, this is temporary. We're gonna get through this. We're gonna see each other again. We're gonna be together again. So.
I love it, I love it. So there's two things that I wanna say. A word that she just used was temporary, meaning that it is not going to last forever. There's no storm in life that literally lasts forever. It always ends with sunshine. And the second thing that all of you alluded to was they had community. So don't be scared of sharing with the people who can help you. We have adults in the room that can always help you. There's people at your school sites, your friends. A lot of them said their sisters, their siblings helped them. So don't be afraid of having somebody, like connecting with somebody and for them to help you. Because community is strong. Relationships are strong. And that's just not when you're a child. That's even when you're an adult as well. All right. So second question goes to Cynthia. Let's start with you again. Y'all ready? All right. What role did education, formal or informal, play in your success?
Well, I'm 24 right now, and I'm barely going to graduate with my AA in December, but so navigating the foster care system, like I said, I was homeless a lot during my teenage years, so I was a high school dropout. I dropped out of high school my sophomore year, and I didn't go back until my senior year, but I went from being 2 years behind to actually graduating early while working full-time. And I have kids now, so I'm going to school because my bachelor's is going to be in psychology. I already have my foot in the door in the career that I want. I'm already working with foster youth. So it's like a full circle moment. But I know that in order to keep elevating, I have to go get my degree.
I love that.
I think it had to do a lot because it opened a lot of opportunities. I started off as a really good student. I would get my A's. I would just basically still so focused in school because that's the only really staple thing. And I went to UC Santa Barbara, to the beach. and there I studied with no one really knows what those two majors are, but it's environmental studies and compared literature. So like sciencey literature, I didn't know what to do with that. So when I came back to Bakersfield, that's when I also graduated in 2020, COVID. So it was really rough. And I found myself going back to school because I started subbing. And I was like, you know what? I want to be a teacher still. Because since I think I was in first grade, I remember writing in Espanol que quería ser una maestra or asistente de maestra. And it just felt like a little full circle moment, right? So I think, yeah, it made a big impact in my, career overall.
I love it.
I think for me, I've always struggled with education ever since I was younger. I just struggled with the idea of school and learning. And I got into a lot of trouble in my high school years. So I didn't graduate the traditional way. I went to a quasi-military school. And essentially, it's just a military school where you live there for 6 months, you graduate early. And then after that, I was like, I'm never going back to school. But I found a love for working with youth and care and homeless youth. And from there, just a love of speaking. And so I am currently enrolled at BC, trying to finish my AA in communication. And for me, education played a vital role because in some ways it helped me kind of get my life straight and really having to focus on what I wanted to do in life and really understanding like I could be more than what everyone told me I would be and I could go further than what everybody told me I could be.
Beautiful. So I don't know if you heard this when I said it earlier, but in California, well, in the United States on any given day, there's about 420,000 foster youth. In California, there's about 59, roughly 60,000, somewhere around there. That number is somewhere around there. And they said only about 3% nationwide will ever graduate with a bachelor's degree, right? And so, and do we believe that, you know, you have to get a college degree to be successful? Absolutely not. But that's why this question said formal or informal education. What else are you going to do? If you don't want to go to college, are you going to go get a trade? Like what are you going to do? A credential, a certificate, whatever the case is. What are you going to do in order to, assure your success, right? Because in order to grow in life, you still need that education, whether it's school or whether it's informal education. But always just keep that in the back of your mind. And be one of those 3% to actually graduate. Change that statistic. One day we wanted to see it 4%. Another day we wanted to see it 10%. But that's all up to you all right now. Thank you all for answering those questions. So the next question, let's start with you first, Janessa. Were there any community organizations, nonprofits, or government programs that provided meaningful support?
First off, you caught me off guard because I thought you were going to say Cynthia again. Second off, absolutely. So this is where I work now, but the Dream Center was a really big resource for me. It's a one-stop shop for foster youth to come get resources. They offer a whole bunch of resources. I could sit up here, and I'm pretty sure Cynthia could talk for hours about how great the Dream Center is. But it offered me resources and, like, help with housing, help with getting my ID, getting my birth certificate. But not only that is they offered people to just be there and be there unconditionally for me, where it's, like, where sometimes I know it's hard to not have the support system of your family. Like a big support system that everyone it has is a mom, right? And so in this community of being in foster care, it's like I don't have my mom like that where I can lean on her. So at the Dream Center, I have people who I can lean on, and building that community that Kevon was talking about It's these people who will unconditionally say, yes, Janessa, we accept you, and we're here for you, and we're here to elevate you and your experiences.
Well said. Well said. I like that. I like that. And so can anybody get access from the Dream Center? Is there like an age requirement, or how does that look?
I'm going to throw this to Cynthia. Sure.
Okay. So the Dream Center is a foster youth resource center. All it takes is 24 hours in the foster care system for you to be eligible for services. And we do offer services up until the age of 25. So a lot of the times youth have gone or experienced foster care or gone through foster care when they were younger and they don't remember. But all it takes is 24 hours. So even if you're working with the youth, or if you are a youth and you have a friend that isn't sure, it's literally just an application that takes 10 minutes to fill out, and you guys can come and see if you guys are eligible for services.
So I'm not eligible because I'm 27.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's crazy.
You're not a youth no more.
Dang, I'm not. I'm a full life adult. That's wild. All right, let's go to you then. Right. Were there any nonprofits, organizations that helped you along your way?
The Dream Center. So when I first came to the Dream Center, I was 17. I was homeless. I was I was pregnant with my second child. And I was going through like a really hard time. And that was the first place where I actually felt safe. I felt heard. I felt seen. And I was not just bounced around. Like they told me, they came and they talked to me and they were like, hey, we do have to call. A social worker is going to come pick you up and they're going to take you back to Jameson. But they explained the process to me. They guided me through it. And then they actually helped me when I turned 18. They didn't just let me age out of the system and fall through the cracks. And that played a really big part, because a lot of the times when you age out of the foster care system, it's very easy to fall through the cracks when you don't know your resources or you feel like nobody cares.
That's what I'm talking about.
Resources that I had, well, like in college, I was like by myself. So I used Medi-Cal. Yay, Medi-Cal. Thank you. And then CalFresh helped a lot too, like just managing, helping me with that. And then I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship, a full ride scholarship to UC Santa Barbara. And I did benefit from Dream Center, but not as much as they had. I didn't take as much as advantage, but I took what I needed, right? I got my bus pass because I had to still finish high school, but I lived across town, so I had to take the bus. So it just helped with the bus passes. Yeah. Just a little thing.
Dream Center. It's called the Dream Center, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like they're doing it big over there. That's amazing. Having a center, I don't even know if we have something like that in San Bernardino, where I'm from. I haven't heard of anything like that. I've heard about one for homeless youth, but not foster youth. So I might have to steal that idea, because you said what?
Oh, and start it.
Yeah, I know, right? I should start it. That's a pretty good resource, though. And so, so also, for me, what helped me was when I was in high school, I didn't want to tell anybody that, you know, I dealt with foster care or I was homeless at times. I didn't want anybody to know. So nobody ever knew, right? And so I didn't even know there was programs out there until I actually went to college. And that's when, as I was applying to college, they told me to, this woman came up to me. She told me, she said, hey, apply for the Renaissance Scholars Program. And I said, what's that? She said, it's a foster youth program on campus that helps you and guides you through, you know, your college journey and stuff like that. So even when you graduate high school, you still have the resource centers like the Dream Center. You also have college programs that are designated to serve you and to see it through. So I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't for that program, I don't know how I would have got my bachelor's degree. But because of that program, I was able to make it. So again, there's a lot of resources out here. There's a lot of programs out here. You just have to be willing to take the actual help, because I know a lot of people who just didn't want to take the help because they didn't want to be ostracized and say, you know, I don't want people to know I'm a foster youth. There's nothing wrong with that, because at the end of the day, it's not your fault and what position you're in. But thank you all for that explanation. That was amazing. All right, next one. We're going to start with you, Ruby.
Yay.
What were the biggest challenges you faced when aging out of foster care?
I'll just read what I wrote. Having to figure out what I wanted to do with my life and how to actually live it, that was hard. So, like, I wouldn't know how to explain it. But, like, okay, like, what next? You know, like, what next steps do I do with my life? As I finished high school, I'm like, I wasn't very I didn't know going into college. Like, I knew I was going to go to college, but I don't know for what, and I just confused. And then my counselor, I honestly did not even want to bother to do those, I forgot what they're called, personal statements. But she took me out, put me out of my classroom and had me just sit there and write it. And yeah, I just came in as undeclared and I just figured it out, right? And I think that was like biggest challenge for me because I, 18 years old, you're still so young and you're still trying to figure it out. And like myself, like I had that journey of like, not knowing what to do, but liking Spanish literature, but what I'm gonna do with Spanish literature. Okay, I like environmental studies, what I wanna do with that. And then I finally came here, right? So it's just like a lot of choices, but I think I just wanna give you that that thought of like, okay, that challenge. It is very challenging at 18 years old to decide right then and there for yourself, what am I going to major? Like right then and there, you have to choose. And you don't. You have options, right? You can always change your mind. Yeah.
I love it.
It's okay to not have it all figured out.
Yes.
What's funny is I remember when I applied for the Renaissance Scholars Program, one of the questions were, what is a hardship or challenge you had to face in life? And I'm like, oh, I'm about to kill this. I got shot. Easy. Like, that's all, right? And then it was like, oh, name something that you're currently dealing with right now. And I forgot what I put. But each one, I will only put like one or two sentences. The person read it. She sent it back to me through email. She said, Kevon, now, if you want to get in this program, you got to put way more than this. I didn't know anything, like how you said about personal statements. I didn't know nothing about that. So I was just putting one sentence. But you have to actually write out your whole, not your whole life, but definitely be more thorough with it. Okay, same question to you.
What was the question?
Okay. What were the biggest challenges you faced when aging out of the foster care?
Homelessness. I had no life skills. I didn't have no family to lean on. And I was already a mom. So I was I had the responsibility to be something that I never had a good example of. And I was homeless. I was experiencing homelessness. So trying to figure out what to do with your life while going through experiences that are not easy can be very hard. I know that for a long time, like I said, I'm 24 and I'm barely going to get my AA because I had to put a lot of things on hold and tell myself, like, you know what, right now it's not the time. I can't figure it out. I have to get stuff like housing or put all these other things first. So just figuring out and knowing that it's okay and trying to tell myself that I'm not in a rush or I don't have to be what everybody else is being at my age. Like, it's okay. I had a different story. I had a different deck of cards that I was dealt, and it's okay. Like, I'm figuring that out one day at a time, and that's okay.
Yeah. Now, that was well said. Same thing to you, Janessa.
So my story is a little different because I was reunified. I was reunified with my parents, but they weren't ready for children. So we grew up with them, and then at 18, like on our 18th birthday, they kicked us out each. So I also, I faced a similar challenge as Cynthia, is like facing homelessness and not knowing what to do next. But apart from that is just not having anybody to lean on and not knowing what next or what now. Whereas like Ruby's story is like, what next, what now? I was kind of like, okay, I'm homeless, so let me just go to apply to college, when that was really not the best decision for me to do, because then I'm just a homeless college student. I have nowhere to study. I have nowhere to go. I don't have transportation. So it's just like, well, what now? So just that unknown and not knowing what the next steps are.
I was going to say something, but I decided not to say it.
Say it.
No, it's nothing crazy. I'm going to ask it at the end. All right, so next question. How did you manage financial independence, housing, and employment as a young adult? Let's start with you, Cynthia. Oh.
So I started working at the age of like 13, but I got my first like legit job at 16 at McDonald's. I was homeless. I did experience homelessness. I got housing through the Dream Center. Use your resources. If there's resources out there, I know a lot of the youth don't always know what the resources they have available, but because you guys have experienced foster care, there's a lot of resources out there. And take advantage of those resources. Those resources are the reason that I'm able to be here doing what I do now. So I took advantage of my resources. I had a lot of people in my life that were willing to guide me and teach me how to budget and tell me, like, hey, this is, it's really important that you're financially smart and that you use your money in a good way. And I also had kids. I had the responsibility of having kids at a very young age. So I had to figure it out and be like, okay, you know, I don't want to give them the same life that I had. So I didn't have no other option but to figure it out.
Stand on business.
I think having a growth mindset, like, okay, like, I'm struggling right now, but how can I grow from here? In all aspects, like the question had said, like financially, independent and in housing and even just, at 18 years old, I think I hadn't had a job until like I was 19 years old, which thankfully I was blessed enough not to need one at that time. But then later on I needed one and then I kind of did not budget well. So it's just like, yeah, like falls, but rising and being successful in that. And then I even, like also like the same thing piggybacking on Cynthia is that just reaching out, like that helps so much, like asking questions, even with, I think the other day I stopped by a Dream Center to do, to sign in some things. And Cynthia was telling me about this great opportunity to work at during something over the summer. And so it's just like those little opportunities you get because you open up where you're at, right? So I think that's helped me a lot.
I think for me, it was a lot of trial and error. I didn't have anybody to like lean on. So I got my first check and I blew it and I was like, okay, next check, can't do that. It was just a lot of trial and error. It was kind of like, okay, so this time I'll pay rent with this check. And then I blew the rest of the check. And it's like, well, now you need to pay for gas and water. And it's like, okay. So slowly learning and teaching myself, like, put your money aside and making sure that you have all your bills separated and then kind of making that budget. So that, at least for the financial aspect of it.
I want to piggyback on this. So I know for me, I remember being, I probably was in my sophomore year of college, and I decided not to stay on campus. And when you stay on campus, my college, they usually help you pay for your housing and stuff. But I said, nah, I don't want to share a room with nobody. So that's why I decided to stay off campus. And there was one point I was literally 3 months behind on my rent. And the only way I could pay it was literally taking out a loan. And so I know, like, especially when you're young, it's hard because you're finally, like, how do, in a sense of, you know, now y'all probably get, like, $20, $40, and y'all say, man, this is a lot of money, right? You get somebody like us $20, $40, we're going to be like, bro, what is this? We're not going to be appreciative. We're going to be like, what is this?
Stop playing with me.
she's like, I need that $40. It's lunch, right? It's gas money for me. But anyway, though, but even in college, I remember getting resources. They would contact me and say, hey, Kevin, we got $300 in Ralph gift cards. Do you want to come get them? Or we have $100 in gas gift cards. Do you want to come get them? Or, hey, Kevin, we have this scholarship. It's $2,500. You should apply. Boom. Every single year, I got that scholarship because nobody else was applying for it. So, that's another thing. When y'all get to college.
Next up
is the community college program. That's next up. And then for Bakersfield, I know they have a different program. I don't know the exact name of it because each college is different. Do y'all know the name of it for Bakersfield?
Next up, and then they have EOPS as well.
No, for Cal State.
Guardian Scholars?
Okay, so Guardian Scholars. Where I'm from in San Bernardino is called a Renaissance Scholar. So it's called something different in mainly every college. But for community college, it's always next up. Who wants to go to college in here? Okay, that's about 90% of y'all. I like to see that. All right, next question. What advice would you give to youth currently in the foster care system who want to be successful? We're going to start with you, Ruby.
Okay. I really enjoyed Kevon's speech earlier because it's exactly what I was thinking about as I was reading this this question, because it's like, you don't need to accept the life that was given to you. You can change it, right? Like, if that was your fate, then it's like, it isn't your fate. You're able to have that, like, power to change it for yourself. And that requires, it's a lot of work. It's not just me saying that, right? It requires a lot of discipline and perseverance. So even though, like, yes, life is going to get hard, but you just have to push through. And like these ladies have said, there are resources for you. And yeah, and just remember that you're not alone. If community, right? If you're a believer in God, like, I know that God is there to have that covering over you. And also, with doing this panel, it's like, I would never have thought to do this because this is so out of my comfort zone. But trying different things, you never know what opportunities you may say no to that you will lose out on. So, like, if I never did this, like, I would never have experienced all of you and being able to hear a lot of the panel, the youth panel of students, and just being more open, you know, and giving back, right, to the community. So.
I love that. No, straight up, right? There's going to be so many. One of my main mantras in life is never say no to an opportunity. Even if I feel in my soul, there's no way I could accomplish that, or there's no way I could do that, I still say yes. And usually it turns out really good. But you never know what could happen from an opportunity. So always take opportunities. Don't shy away from it. Janessa, your turn.
I agree with that, mainly because it's like I never would have known my love for speaking if I hadn't done something uncomfortable and got up and spoken for my first time. But not only that, but just remembering that your situation is temporary. I know sometimes when things happen, especially in my case, when I was in care, I felt like my life was consumed by foster care and like I never had control. Everyone else was doing everything for me, and I never felt like myself, and I never felt okay. I would go to bed hoping that I would wake up and I would be in a dream. And so just remembering that this is temporary, this is not the only thing you will ever amount to, this is just a place and a setting. Temporary, like you said earlier, but just remembering that this is temporary, and then leaning on resources, asking for help, and it's okay to ask for help.
Again, it is okay to ask for help. Your current situation is not your final situation. Remember that. All right, same thing to you. What advice would you give to youth currently in the foster care system who wants to be successful?
I was a lot different than you, Kevon. You seen the wrong path and you were like, I'm going to avoid it. I seen the wrong path and I ran with it until I had no option but to leave it. So if you are currently in any state of your life where you feel like, I've already messed up, I'm already done, I already ruined my life, it's over, there's nothing that I can do, I'm just going to be another statistic, that's not true. It's never too late to turn your life around. You could always choose to do something different. Even if no one else believes in you, like Kevon said earlier, believe in yourself and know that change is possible. Like, it could come, and it can't rain forever. And whenever you do have kids, if you have kids, you're going to be able to give them something way much more and better than the life that you were given.
Mm. She got a why. I love it. I love it. I love it. No, seriously, right? Again, the cards that you are dealt, those are not the cards you have to play. Or is that how the quote goes?
Yep, I'm going to reshuffle that deck every time.
Exactly. I'm going to get a whole new deck. I ain't going to be playing with that deck. But no, seriously, right? We all go through something. I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know what your go-through is, but we all go through. Like, right now, I'm still going through stuff. Like, life does not stop. I'm out of foster care, but hey, life still goes on. There's death in my family. There's things that come up. I don't know what it is. As the older you get, there be this thing, all these bills just be coming in. And I don't know where they be coming from. I get a random bill. I'm like, bruh, I thought this month I was going to be able to splurge a little bit. But no, every single month, there's a challenge. Every single year, there's a challenge. Every single day, there's going to be a challenge in your life. But the question is, are you going to be able to step up to the plate? You know, I'm not even supposed to be giving a motivational speech. All right, next question. All right, we're going to go with you, Janessa. I don't know why I keep wanting to call you Genesis. I don't know why. All right, Janessa. What would you tell your younger self? They didn't know I was asking this question. That's why.
I was going to say.
That's just like, that was not in here.
Not in there.
What would I tell my younger self? That you're valued and you matter and you're going to do so much more than what you think you're going to do. For most of my life, I didn't think I would live until 18. So being 23 now, I know that I made it and I'm still going. So I think just giving myself grace and saying, like, it's okay. What you're going through, it's okay. You're going to be okay. You're valued and you're loved.
Woo! Ruby, talk to me. What would you tell your younger self?
Ooh, a lot. that it's going to be okay. And yes, this is a season. This is like this is your life, though, and you're able to, you have a will to change it, and whatever outcome you want, you're able to seek after that, right? And also, ask for help. There's no such thing as a dumb question. Even in front of thousands of people, it is okay because they may be asking the same question or they may want the same answers or the same help, but they're so afraid as well. So, yeah.
Woo! Cynthia, what would you tell your younger self?
I would give myself a really big hug.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would really just, like, hug myself and just tell myself, like, it's life gets better, man. It's going to be better, and you're going to be something different. Like, just keep holding on. Don't give up. Like,
I like that. I'll give my younger self a butt whooping. Nah, I'm just kidding. All right, so I'm going to do something different. If anybody has a question, we can only do a few of these because time that we have left. But if anybody have a question to ask them, raise your hand and I'll come give you the mic. Just one person. All right.
The way you like to say.
How many kids do you have?
I have 4. I have 3 biological, and then I became a foster mom in December.
Woo! Now that's what I'm talking about. How is parenting for you?
Oh, it's hard. I work full time, I go to school full time, and I'm a single mom of 4 kids. So it's hard, but it's the most rewarding feeling ever because I'm being able to give my kids the life that I didn't have, and I'm breaking all the generational curses.
Boom. Just
my
like
kids
that.
Are not going to go through what I went through.
We got a question right here. Anybody got a question? Right here? This table? Hold on, which one of y'all got? You. You got a question?
What you gonna ask?
Oh, she ain't got it.
Come on. It's all right.
You got it. I'm gonna go right here. You got it. Take the opportunity.
Ask.
You got it.
What is it?
He said you got it. Damn.
Does it ever get better as a teen parent in foster care?
Like, yeah. I think that's a good question. Just because we didn't have the perfect example of what it's like to be a parent, don't ever sell yourself short. You're doing the best that you can. You're doing something that you didn't have an example of. And be everything that you can for your kid. Everything that you wish that you would have had, be it. And it doesn't matter if everybody's against you. It doesn't matter if all odds are against you. You just do what you have to do to make sure that you give your baby something different.
You might as well drop the mic and just walk off the stage because you're killing it right now.
So, I wouldn't say I understand how it feels to be a single parent, but my mom's a single parent with 7 kids, and I'm the oldest, so I put a lot of pride into it. And I don't want to throw like a lot of heat towards you because all questions are going towards you.
No, you're
but,
fine.
But
she can take it.
How does it feel to give your kids the life you never had?
It's bittersweet, honestly. Like I look at my children and there's a lot of things that my kids don't understand, like my parenting styles and stuff like that. But as a child that felt like I wasn't protected or I was exposed to a lot of things at a very young age and stuff like that. It's more than just the materialistic stuff. Like, yeah, I'm able, they have a roof over their head. They're never going to experience homelessness. I'm able to buy them things and all this and that, but it's deeper than that. It's the love that I give them, the affection, them knowing that they have somebody that cares and that's going to guide them. And no matter how many times they fall, mom's going to be there to pick you up. And it's hard. It's not easy, especially when you're a single parent. I'm the youngest of a single mother, immigrant mother. I'm the youngest out of eight, and it's not easy being a parent, but knowing that my children will know and they'll be able to grow up and be like, hey, mom did it, mom got it, and if mom could do it, I could do it, then that's all that matters.
So what moment in your life did you realize you wanted to advocate for foster youth and come up here and talk to people like us?
That's all three of y'all.
So, So when I went to the Dream Center, I was 17, right? I did their housing program. At the age of 20, I was offered a peer support specialist position. So I started off as a peer support specialist. And the first time that I ever got the opportunity to help, it wasn't even to speak, the first time that I got the opportunity to help someone that was in a situation that I had once been in, and I was able to help them navigate that and be like, hey, I understand it. Because it's different when you have other people telling you what to do or telling you that they know what it's like when they have never experienced it. So when I was able to be that person in the room that was like, hey, I've gone through this, I know what it feels like, let's go through it together, then I knew, like, hey, this is what I'm passionate about. These full circle moments are what fulfill me.
Honestly, this was like a last minute thing to come here, but I willingly said it, like, yes, like, I'll do it. But I think I've always had like a heart for,
it's okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm like, geez. Okay, I've always had a heart for foster youth because, again, like Cynthia said, like, I don't want to have any child go through that, but the world is ugly, and there is no way you can protect children. You could only do so much, right? So me experiencing that myself, I want to be that advocate since I think since I can remember as a 9-year-old, like, I don't want this to happen again for my little sister. I don't want this to happen for any generations coming after me. And I want to be able to be there. As a teacher, like, I've seen so many foster youth coming into the classrooms and having those disadvantages, and I'm able to, well, yes, like, relate to them, but then also have that heart that no one took the time to know them and see them as what they are. They're not a label. It's not, oh, they're a foster, you know? It's just a foster kid, right? That's why they're acting like that. But really deeply think about, how can I support this child where I'm at as a teacher, as a human? So, that's overall, that's what I want to, I've always wanted to be, I guess.
For me, I agree with Ruby. I do have a heart for helping. I've always had a heart for helping. But when I was homeless, I met someone named Allison who became like one of my biggest mentors and supporters. And she just poured into me when no one else had, or when no one else thought I could do something better or greater with my life. And she really showed me that I could use my voice to help others, and I can just be inspiring and help others in any way I can. So really just having that person to guide me and pour into me and just say that you're at your lowest, but I see something in you, even when I didn't see something in myself, when I didn't support myself, when I didn't believe in living for another year, just having that person say, like, I see something in you, and I know you can go further, and I have big things for you, and I know you're capable of big things. Mm-hmm. So having those people around you that really pour into you and say, like, even though you're at your lowest, even though you're going through something really hard, I see something. I see a light. I see a fire, and I'm here to nurture and help it.
Y'all spinning fire up there.
I don't know where you're at.
He's over there.
I'm over here. All right. Our next question. You had your hand raised. You sure?
I was wondering if you guys ever felt different from other kids, like while being in the foster system, because I always had a felt like I was lower than other kids because they had a mom and a dad and a family to actually go home to.
I'll take this one first. I think, first off, of course, I think, especially when you're surrounded with youth who are like, oh yeah, my mom's gonna go take me to do this. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, my mom would never. She would never. So of course you're gonna feel different, but also it's knowing that you can build your own family. You can build your own community. You can build people in your life that, Cynthia's like my sister, and I've only known her for 5 years now. She's like my sister. I have a biological sister, but Cynthia is part of that family that I have built. And it's okay to be different, and it's okay to feel different, because they will not know what you're going through, and they will not understand it. But you have you, and you can build that community that Kevon was talking about, and build that family. So even though my sister may let me down, I know that I have Cynthia with me. I know that I have people around me that I've built a family. Blood, it does not always mean that that's what family is.
I think, yes, of course, it felt different than everybody else. And it was always hard to be like building my family tree, because it was a little complicated, because I have half siblings, and then now I have my now guardians, and then their families. And then I would have to, if they people would ask, then it would just be like, oh, yeah, I have two sets of parents. And then if they, you know, if they wanted to dig deeper, then it just made me sometimes uncomfortable to talk about that, because I didn't know how much they could take, and I don't know how much I could take to share. So it was always a little hard to do that. And then I think I, like she said, that it was just always those people that were surrounding me and supporting me, that is my family.
You are going to feel different, and it's okay. Your feelings are valid. Like, it's okay to feel like you're not like everybody else, because you're not. You're going through something that you shouldn't be having to go through, but because of somebody else's choices, you're going through it. And it's okay to feel different, and it's okay to recognize those feelings and be like, you know what? I'm going through these struggles. But don't let those struggles or those feelings consume you into giving up on yourself. Be like, you know what, this is something that I'm going through. Yes, I feel different, but what am I going to do with this? I'm going to take it, and I'm going to make something for myself, and I'm going to continue to break those generational curses, and I'm going to do something that my kids are never going to have to feel like this. My kids are never going to have to feel like they're different from any other kids that they're going to school with.
Woo! Hey, y'all, I don't know. Y'all just killing it today. I don't know what got into y'all. But this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. No, I totally agree, right? I'm gonna let her ask a question, okay? But I understand exactly how you feel. You know, you feel different. But like how they said, don't let all that define you, because when you get older, you have the choice to make different decisions. It's to make sure that the kids or the lineage that come behind you never have to go through that. And I'm sure that's what all three of them are doing. And you can actually see it by the way they speak and by how the way they just, all of y'all, yeah. Talk to me.
What age did you have your first kid at? Oh, my God.
She said it earlier.
I was 15. I was 15 when I had my first child. I had my daughter at 15. Years. Huh?
How old is your child now?
My oldest is 8. Beautiful, amazing little girl. Love that girl to death. She changed my life for the better. Counselors back there, look, I was pregnant. I mean, I went there with Evelette, and my counselor actually ended up offering to be my foster parent and did a lot for me. She's back there.
Raise your hand. Okay. Okay. See, now that's what we talk.
The
Testing mic working? Hello? Testing. Oh, yeah. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I always tell adults, lead with a heart filled with love. Literally, my godmom is my, I guess you could call her a counselor at Cal State San Bernardino. Like, one day I just went up to her. I was just like, look, are we going to make this happen or what? Straight up. But it's people like that, right? And so definitely you are going beyond than what your job is even calling you to do. So thank you so much for that. Do we have time for one more question or one more question? No. Okay. I'm nervous.
Is there anything that you regretted in your life?
No, that's good. I like that. Is there anything you regretted in your life?
Yeah, there's a lot of things, but
anything you could take back that you wish? Like,
no, because everything that I have gone through, every decision that I have made has molded me into the person that I am today, into the woman that I am today, into the mother that I am today, the advocate that I get to be today. All my struggles, all the adversity that I had to face made me who I am. And because of that, have I made bad choices? Have I done a lot of things that I wasn't supposed to do? Yes, but they're not L's. They're lessons. Like, they're, you make what you can out of your situation and you just continue to learn and grow.
Y'all cooking. Let her cook. Y'all seen that video? No? Okay.
I was going to say the same thing that she said, because it's like, I don't regret anything. Yes, I did mistakes. And I'm like, oh, dang, I should not have said that or shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have went over there. But yeah, it made me who I am. And it helped me grow for the better and be, yeah, who I am.
Exact same answer. Like she said, they're not L's, they're lessons. So well, a losses, different kind losses. Of L. But they are definitely lessons. And like, I do wish that I didn't have to do all the bad things that I did to get here, but it wouldn't have made me who I am. And it wouldn't have led me here to speak in front of you to do what I do.
I just wanted to add. And as like these ladies have said, like, they learn from those lessons, but let those failures define you. Like, yes, like, oh, like, I messed up over here, but that doesn't mean you are a fracaso. You are a failure. You are a nobody, or you are, yeah, you're terrible. But that doesn't mean that's not that saying that. Like, you're able to get up, you know, be resilient in where you're at.
Can I just add one thing? Just one thing.
I'm just kidding.
Don't have a kid at a young age. Like, I wish somebody would have told me that, okay? Like, I had a kid at a young age, and I did something. If you already have a kid, okay, you already have a kid. You know, make the best out of your situation. But if be smart. Wait. Go to school. Get an education. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself.
So, 6'7"? No. Okay. Wow. That was probably the best panel I had ever moderated for. The answers that you guys gave, the experience, the lessons, second to none. So we are bringing this to a close. I just want to say thank you, because it's not easy. I mean, y'all made it seem easy. I'm just saying. But it's not easy getting up here, being very vulnerable, sharing your tears, and also sharing some of the deepest parts of you. So for you, so they can understand and they can learn from it. So just thank you so much. Can we all like stand up, give them a round of applause, okay. Like cheer them on. Come on, get loud. Come on, guys.
Can we stand up for them?
Thank you, Kevon.
Well, that's it for this episode of Youth Voice Amplified. If you enjoy what you heard and want to support the show, please take a moment and leave us a positive review on your favorite podcast player. It'll help us spread awareness of the podcast and find new listeners. And if you're looking for our show notes or recommended resources for any of our episodes, please visit our website at www.kern.org/YVA. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or would like to recommend a topic or guest, you can email us at youthvoiceamplified@gmail.com. Join us for our next episode when Brian and I sit down with our next youth storyteller. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Youth Voice Amplified is a youth-led project of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools Office, created, produced, and hosted by Janessa Fisher and Brian Johnson, with writing, research, and additional production support by Kim Silva, Allison Baptiste, and the Kern Educational Television Network. Major funding for the Youth Voice Amplified podcast is provided by the Student Achievement and Support Division of the California Department of Education through the Homeless Innovative Program Grant. Thanks for listening.